The Disruptions, by A. Enoch. The meaning of the compound disrupt, cut the ball down, cast is satisfactorily settled by its contexts. In 2 Cor 4:9 we read, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not perishing. It is parallel to persecuted, and closely allied to abandoned or destroyed. The avenue also has cast down. The word foundation, which the avenue uses for the noun, they use for the melios place care also, so make no distinction between them, which is most unscientific, for the two terms are antonyms, opposites, not synonyms. We must be consistent, if we wish the truth. The evidence for disruption. As many of our friends may not have seen the evidence which compelled us to change from the usual rendering foundation to disruption about 50 years ago, we will briefly recapitulate it here. The Greek word is katabole, downcasting. The main stem, cast, suggests forcible motion, cast into the fire, Mat. 3:10. This is seen in some derivations as bellows arrow, bele a stone's throw, ek bele outcast, eject, ek bele jettison, lea bolos through caster, adversary, and often with an evil implication. It is not used of laying down. There is no other word in the divine vocabulary which demands the rendering disruption. But the popular translation, foundation, is needed for another stem place care, which suggests careful motion, such as the cautious movements of a mason when building a wall. This is reflected in its derivations, such as meditate, regret, repent, etc. The use of these two distinct and partly conflicting stems for one English word is not only contrary to the fundamental principle on which a concordant version is founded, but it also disrupts the truth. The Septuagint usage. One of the best tests of the significance of a Greek word in divine revelation is its usage in the Septuagint, which was translated by Jewish rabbis and used by our Lord and his apostles. The following is a list of all the Hebrew stems which they translated by means of this Greek stem, katabol, chrs devote, dum job 12:14, zek.26, 4:12, lqch aftermath, zek.33, 4, ntsh let go, abandon zek.29, 5, nphl cast, fall 2 Kings 3:19, 25, 6, 5, 19, 7, 2 Sam.20, 15, 2 Chron.32, 21, PSA.36, 37, 14, 72, 73, 18, 105, 106, 26:27, 139, 140, 10, Prove.7, 26, JR.19, 7, Zek.6, 4, 23, 25, 30, 22, 32, 12, 39, 3, Dan.11, 12, NTHTZ breakdown, Zek.26, 9, PHRTZ breach, Job 16:15, 14, Prove.25, 28, SHTM grudge, Job 16:10, 9, SHCHTH ruin, Zek.26, 4, SHPHL low, ISA.26, 5. Not one of these stems conveys the idea of founding, but some, such as doom, abandon, fall, breakdown, breach, ruin, are almost synonyms of disruption, and incompatible with foundation. In contrast to this, the Greek the melios, place care, found, represents the Hebrew stem SD found 22 times, and a slightly different form, themelion, at least 30 times. The only other Hebrew equivalent worth mentioning is amun, high, or citadel, which, of course, is well founded. Negatively, as well as positively, the Greek OT used by the early believers, on which the new revelations were based, distinguishes radically between downcasting, disruption, and place care, foundation. In the inspired scriptures, Almost all of the occurrences refer to the disruption of the world. The dictionary tells us that the world denotes the heavens and the earth, the universe, or its inhabitants and their concerns. The concordant lexicon defines cosmos as system, world, an orderly arrangement, adornment. 1 Peter 3, 2, especially the constitution of human society in a given period of time. The Septuagint translates Hebrew words by it, which the CV renders implement, deed, host, beauty, luxury, ornament. From this it is seen that it may apply to any systematic arrangement, whether material or spiritual. As we shall see, disruption is used of both the material mirrors, as well as their spiritual counterparts, to indicate the four great cataclysms in the history of the earth, the first of which consisted in making the earth a chaos and vacant, and its corresponding evil, usually, but non-scripturally called the fall of Adam, which is much the same idea. The five worlds. As is shown in the divine calendar, there are five worlds in the Aeonian times, corresponding to the aeons, and these are separated by four disruptions, intermediate periods in which there are great changes, two for the worse and two for the better, and all with a physical aspect which mirrors its spiritual counterpart. The first physical disruption is recorded in the forefront of Revelation, after the creation of the heavens and the earth, by which the earth became a chaos and vacant. The corresponding spiritual disruption could not occur until there was another creation. But, soon after Adam was formed, he and his wife sinned and so shattered the beautiful relationship between them and their subjector. This formed the first spiritual disruption. The first disruption. When Adam and Eve were first formed, there was perfect harmony between the man and his subjector on the one side, and with his wife on the other. This was in the sphere of spirit. Just as there were two creations, one of the heavens and the earth, general 1:1, and the other of humanity, 27, so also there were two disruptions. In the latter, Eve listened to the serpent, ate the forbidden fruit, and Adam offended the subjector by his disobedience, so that they became mortal and were driven from his presence. The harmonious relationship of humanity with the Creator was disrupted. In the course of time this led to bloodshed, when Cain, the first human to be born, murdered his brother, due to the previous disruption of the world. The system is not limited to the earth, but includes the creatures on it. Both will be restored, the earth as well as mankind. The ancient world. The second, the ancient world, 2 Peter 2, 5, which failed under Adam's headship, was closed by the deluge, which disrupted the waters above and drowned the humans beneath, and so prepared for the present evil world. In the future, the earth and mankind are to undergo terrific physical changes, as recorded in the unveiling. Along with these will come the disruption of the present system of society, so that Christ will be king over all the earth in the fourth world. In preparation for the fifth world, the whole terrestrial sphere will be consumed by fire and mankind will be judged before the great white throne. Thus there are four disruptions in all, of which the physical changes correspond closely to the spiritual. Disruption indefinite. The phrases from the and before the disruption are printed with a light face the in the present CV, to show that there is no article the in the original. But few seem to note this fact or take heed to its message. The disruption here indicated is world disruption in general, a condition, a fact, not any special act, but necessarily beginning with the first of the series. It embraces physical as well as spiritual disruption, the so-called fall of Adam, as well as making the earth a chaos and vacant, briefly, before, or from the operation of evil in the earth or in humanity. If a particular world had been intended, it would have been named and preceded by the article the. We may change the CV to world disruption in the future. Created and disrupted. Just as Adam was created quite perfect in his way, but became a sinner, so the earth also had been created fit for habitation, but became a chaos and vacant. In both cases there was a disruption of the world, and this phrase may well refer to either or preferably to both, for both together commence an interval in which God, by means of both material and spiritual disruption, reveals himself as Saviour and Lover, preparing for the revelation of his power when he will create them anew. Each one of us will go through this process also, both physically and spiritually, and, at present, is in a condition akin to the disruption of the world. This should help us to grasp the force of this expression. The world. Only one world or system could have existed when Cain slew Abel. As this term usually refers to the order or arrangement of human society, it goes back to the subjection of Adam under the Elohim, the subjectors, and his descendants. It was this miniature world which was disrupted when Adam sinned, transgressed and offended God. The slaying of Abel by Cain was the most flagrant and atrocious result of that disruption, the first time that human blood was shed by a fellow human. If the world had not been disrupted, Cain would not have slain his brother. Before Anfrim. Before any disruption, God loved his son, John 17:24, and foreknew him as the flawless and unspotted lamb, 1 Peter 1:20, and chose us in him, Eph 1:4. This shows that sacrifice was in God's heart even before sin was introduced. But it was not till Adam's sin, or from a disruption, that his kingdom was made ready, Matt 2:5-34, blood was shed, Luke 11:50, the works occurred, Heb 4:3. Then the suffering of Christ was due, Heb 9:26, and, in a sense, he was the lamb slain as soon as sin entered, Rev 1:3-8. The names of all in the scroll of life were entered in that far distant past, so the disruption did not affect their fate, Rev 1:7-8. Sin's disruption and repudiation. The effects of the initial disruption could only be met by sacrifice, Heb 9:26. So Abel sacrificed a sin offering. But Cain refused to do this, and brought a bloodless offering of fruit, which God could not accept, as it failed to recognize the curse of death, CCV. It is only at the conclusions of the eons, and of the worlds, that the sacrifice of Christ will have its full effect. Then sin will be repudiated as an instrument of divine revelation, so there will be no more disruptions after the consummation. By means of these disruptions, counted by the sacrifice of Christ, God will draw all mankind into the embrace of his paternal love. The observant reader will have noted that the record in Genesis, as we have expounded it, is in practical accord with the assured facts of science. How could it be otherwise? The same subjectors who created the heavens and the earth inspired the record. From the theological viewpoint, it has been suggested that there are three alternatives, as follows: 1. Science and faith are irreconcilable. 2. They need to be harmonized. 3. Faith and science are on two different levels and have two distinct functions. But we have found that they not only agree, but have the same function on two different levels. As indicated by our title, nature is a material mirror of spiritual truth. They are like two notes, an octave apart, and so produce the harmony of the universe. Science and theology are antagonistic as to the age of the earth. But scientists also disagree among themselves. Geologists and biologists, we are told, make it much older than astronomers. I suppose the theologians are agreed that it is about 6,000 years old. But that depends on the mistranslation of the opening words of Revelation, and the false assumption that Adam, the progenitor of the human race, was created at that time. The scriptures do tell us the age of humanity, but even that has been much shortened by the copyists of the Hebrew text. The concordant version has made a prolonged effort to give the correct Adamic reckoning, but not the date of creation, for that is not revealed. So it seems that both science and theology may be reconciled, for they are mutually ignorant, and make much ado about a matter which neither understands. Unscientific theology. The subjector clutches the wise in their craftiness, 1 Cor 3:19. If theologians were really scientific in their deductions from the inspired originals, they would not ignore the word become mud in the sentence, and the earth became a chaos. General. 1:2. If it were absent, then they would be justified when inserting is, for this is understood in Hebrew in such cases. Neither would they mistranslate katapeles, downcasting, in the phrase, before the foundation of the world, eph. 1:4. The word for foundation is the melios place care. Few scientists would commit such palpable falsifications. By a simple glance at the present condition of the strata of the earth, they would confirm the Hebrew text, but oppose the theologians. The evidence in the earth and in the book agree. Only the translators disagree with both because they refuse the evidence in the record they are supposed to expound and defend. The days of readjustment. These two willful alterations have totally obscured the function of the week's work. Instead of being a gradual creation, it was the readjustment of a chaos, to prepare the scene for the presence of humanity. Adam could not have lived on an earth which had become a dark abyss. He needed light and air and land and vegetation and animals and luminaries. So these were made before he was created on the sixth day. On the first 3 days there was no creation whatever. The water and the land were certainly created earlier than the chaos that existed on the first day. The next creation mentioned in the account were the living souls, birds, fish and sea monsters on the fifth day. The days, we do not know how long the 7 days lasted. But we do know that God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So it was not a 24-hour day. This makes sense, for he does not work at night, John 9:4. It denotes a period of time when no work is done. Only 2 days in a year are of equal length, so the length of each day is not an essential factor. In fact, the heavens and earth were created in 1 day, not 7, General. 2:4. And there is a figurative Lord's Day which will last 1,000 years, Zech. 1:4, 1. Joel 2:1. All this in God's word should keep us from insisting on a 24-hour day or half of it, though it may have been so. The Creator not tired. Our most popular version says that God rested from his work, General. 2:2, 3. This comes perilously close to irreverence. God is not a man. No work can make him tired. He ceased from further work. In Ex. 2:0, 11, rested should read stopped. So elsewhere. The law stopped all work on the Sabbath, and had to be obeyed whether men were tired or not. Nothing is gained by determining the exact duration of God's operations, especially since this has no spiritual significance. It is important to limit the number of days to 6, and the length of the week to 7, for man should sweat 6 days for his own living, as a result of the curse, to form a background for God's grace in the 7th. The Bible, not scientific. Some would like us to think that the Bible is not a scientific work, so it need not agree with science. Alas! This is all too true. By this I do not wish to insinuate that the inspired scriptures, written in Hebrew and Greek, are not reliable. Quite the contrary. Except for the slight amount in which their text has been altered in transmission, they are far ahead of science, which is only lately catching up in some matters. It is our translations which are not scientific. For instance, the Avenue commences, in the beginning God created the heaven. But the Hebrew has Shmaim heavens. Only lately have the scientists recognized 3 different strata in the atmosphere. When the scriptures spoke of on heavens, they translated it celestial correctly twice, 1 Cor 1:5-40, but in many other places they ignored the on, and confused it by rendering it with forms of heaven. The on may have dropped out in copying occasionally. Our popular translations of the Bible are not scientifically made. If they were, there would be no real clash with true science. Neither is much of science really scientific. When good sense is used in both realms, they do not merely agree, but the physical facts mirror spiritual truth, and this throughout the scriptures. For example, I have long used the scriptures as a guide to health. When I found that Daniel's diet consisted of seed food, not pulse, Dan.1:12:16, I tried to help my inherited dyspepsia by doing the same, and it has proved a great boon. On the contrary, when I read that David prayed, "Purge me with hyssop," PSA.517, I proposed to use hyssop caper as a purgative, but I checked the word purge, to be safe, and found that it meant make a sin offering, not purge at all. The Bible led me astray. The scriptures in the original do not clash with real science, when consistently translated. But when a discordant version masquerades as a true transcription of God's word, then it clashes with all knowledge. And it is doubly dangerous, when supported by learned men who are giving their lives to the study and dissemination of God's revelation. When I found that the avenue did not agree with the facts in nature, I went to Palestine to check it on the spot. This confirmed my suspicions. Therefore we have given each plant and animal a single name throughout, as well as limiting every expression to one equivalent whenever possible. That is not only concordant but scientific, in the best sense of the word. The shape of the earth. I was once considerably concerned not to allow my previous education, not only in biblical, but also in secular science, especially astronomy, to influence my study of the Bible. Was the earth a comparatively flat surface, as a limited part of it seemed to be from observation and the Bible, or was it an enormous curve, as astronomy taught? As there was no possibility of rising high enough to check this, I made a journey to San Diego, the best point to view an eclipse of the moon at the time, so that the earth's contour could clearly be seen as its shadow crept over the surface of the satellite. Its circular shadow on the moon conclusively convinced me that it was a globe, and that the scriptures used the common figure of implication. Now, photographs taken from a great height clearly show its curved contour. Besides, judged by the background of stars, the sun appears to go around the earth once a year, not every day. Hebrew uses the same figure in relation to the contour of the Holy Land. SHPHL means low. The avenue translates it vale, valley, and plain. But there are other Hebrew words which undoubtedly must be used for these terms. So I spent today while in Palestine visiting the Shephelah, and found that it referred to the foothills between the plain along the shore of the Mediterranean and the central mountain region. It looked low, but only from above. It looked high from the shore. So nearly all such terms are relative, as they appear to the senses of the common folk who use it. Perhaps the coast dwellers may have called some of them hills. We live on Euclid Heights, but above us are the foothills and above them are the mountains. In comparison with them we are low. In English the sun sets, but what this means literally is not clear. In German it goes under. But in Hebrew it enters or enters, but what is not said. Such expressions are not a safe basis on which to reason about the sun's movement. We also say that it sinks, like the German. These examples are given to show that no idiomatic language, not even the Hebrew, can determine the literal motions of objects the eyes behold, but only the apparent motion from a given standpoint. Many words of location cannot be absolute, but must be relative. Earthquakes. Perhaps the most impressive evidence to show that the earth is a chaos, is to live through a severe earthquake, and study its cause and results. I once lived in an earthquake country near Mount Torquitz, which the Indians blamed for the shocks. Realizing this, I built an earthquake-proof building of well-braced timbers, filled in with bricks held by cement. It was well that I did, or I might not have survived to write this. The quake was so severe that it threw a bowl of water clear across the room. It broke down walls in San Jacinto, the nearest town. The roads had a crack every few yards. Earthquakes come with some regularity in certain well-defined regions. San Francisco had a rather severe series of shocks recently, along the same lines as about 50 years ago. That quake cost many lives and almost destroyed the city. The place where this is written has won occasionally. The point is that they are the result of faults in the Earth's surface. These must have been produced by an Earth-wide shock before historic times, which at the same time threw the Earth off its axis, so that the North Star seems to move, and the North Magnetic Pole is not at the geographical pole. These are clear evidence that the Earth has had a tremendous shock, and is off its axis. Ask any builder how he would duplicate the faults in the Earth's crust. He would tell you that the only practical way would be to build it right first, and then break it apart later. Such fissures and upheavals must arise from a perfect original. I have built some walls and seen others which have been cracked by an earthquake. They were of the same nature and appearance as the earth faults, that is, a continuous, but uneven, break, which could be fitted together again if it were practicable to move both sides. The moon. As the moon is spoken of as under the feet of Israel in the future, Rev. 1:2:1, it may well be a symbol of evil and the powers of darkness, especially of the adversary. This would link the physical and spiritual disruptions together, both being affected by the powers of darkness and of evil. But this is only a suggestion, as there does not seem to be definite evidence in the scriptures to this effect, so we do not teach it, and do not seek to defend it. It has also been suggested that the moon caused the disruption by striking the earth like a meteor, making a deep depression in the South Pacific Ocean, just as the meteors of the end time will readjust it for the following millennial reign, Rev. 8:10. This would badly wrinkle the moon's surface, which is much more distorted than that of the earth. This is a good thing, for otherwise it would reflect much less sunlight than it does. For a smooth globular reflector would divert very little light to any given point, such as the Earth. But the mountains on the Moon, some of which are much higher than any on the Earth, reflect some light to the Earth, even if they are near its varying rim. In this case, as the Moon was cast down, 2 Cor 4:9, disruption was literally a fact, and no other word could describe it better. The application of this word to the result of Adam's offense may be taken from this earlier disruption in the physical realm, as they are parallels, as most of the terms in our spiritual vocabulary are taken from the former. The stubborn fact faces us, there is disruption, both in the physical as in the spiritual world. The latter is fully revealed in God's word, and was due to the introduction of sin and evil soon after the creation of Adam. The second disruption, the deluge, has likewise left its mark, not only in the scriptures, but in the skies also. The future disruptions will all be double, and are revealed beforehand for faith. Great calamities will visit the earth before the messianic kingdom, and a complete conflagration before the new earth. Why should the scriptures not record the first one, which is so fully embossed upon the surface of the earth and reconciles true science with religion? It is, but it takes a spiritual eye and God-given faith to believe His word. We cannot say that Satan caused the disruption of the earth, neither did he directly cause the entrance of sin, but we do know that the adversary is sinning from the beginning, 1 John 3:8. He does not always do it directly. In Eden he sinned through the serpent. And in these last days he has many human mediums who do his will. But, thanks be to God, His panoply provides us with the truth and the faith to extinguish the fiery arrows that assail us. Personal disruptions. Each one of us has had a personal disruption ever since Cain, the firstborn of humanity, for this is the term used of the discharge of eggs in the case of Sarah at the conception of her son Isaac, according to Hebrews 11:11. As a result of Eve's offense, Beulah said to her, "In grief shall you bear sons," General 3:16. So it is that, not only are we all suffering because of the effects of the initial disruption of the earth, but the later disruption that severed our first parents from God, also introduced a continuous series of them at the birth of our bodies. Normal childbirth was not originally intended to be painful, but now every human is not only born in sin, but it is a grievous process in order to remind mankind of their first mother's introduction of disruption into the spiritual world. Hitherto many of us have thought of a world or system as either physical or spiritual, whereas it includes both. It takes the earth as well as humanity on it to make a complete world. And both are affected at the beginning of each eon. The adversary hates this truth and has tried to erase it from the pages of the Bible, although it is written in the rocks, and may be read on the sinful, offensive heart of mankind from its attitude toward its subjecter. It is the very first act of each human, even before birth, when, as an egg, it bursts forth from the ovary of its mother during her prime, or, later, in the case of Sarah, Heb. 1:11. The whole terrestrial system, as well as God's revelation, is permeated with the evidence of disruptive evil, and looks forward to the gracious and glorious deliverance from it through Christ Jesus, so that God may be all in all. How blessed are they, whose eyes behold, how his words and works God's love unfold. Copyright Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to main index page.